It's recording now.
It's now recording. Can you believe what's happening right now?
No.
I'm the DJ this time.
It kind of feels like cheating.
It feels weird right now. I'm the one controlling everything, basically, when it comes to action features.
I kind of feel like it's
you feel left out right now.
Well,
you feel naked.
I feel a little naked.
You feel naked.
I feel naked.
You feel naked.
But I also feel a little bit like cheating, you know, on the Dell.
Yeah, well, the Dell gave out.
This is a little bit more convenient than the Dell.
Look,
I have
guys,
to say.
Look what happened last week. We were supposed to record.
We were all set up. We had all of our stuff ready
Good to go.
We were in here. I'd canceled all my other plans. Everything that was supposed to happen didn't happen.
And then the Dell finally gave up the ghost.
The Dell said, I can't do this
it
anymore.
Bad.
It carried us through 60-some episodes.
You can't complain when a 1996 Dell gets you through 63 episodes of Action Features.
It was free. It was a free computer. I'm not going to complain about
it. It did a great job.
It
really did.
I'm not going to put any money into fixing it.
There's a good chance that this episode won't turn out. We're going to record this whole thing, and something's going to go wrong with this new interface we've got.
I'm just going to tell you right now, whatever we get is going to go up.
Whatever it may be, just
wherever it cuts
silence.
Off. Wherever it cuts off is where it cuts off.
It may just be silence the entire time.
I can't promise.
Who knows?
We don't promise things.
Okay, so guys, it's time for action features.
It's about time for action features. Has it been 3 weeks?
I think it's been like 3 weeks. Hey, don't say anything for now. I just want to make sure both of these mics are. It's getting both of us, right? It looks like it is.
That's you right there.
All right, we're good.
Well, mine's a little
louder.
It's
been like 3 weeks.
Hold on.
You're used to getting turned down from what I hear.
Yeah, right, from girls.
Oh, yeah. Uh-oh. I dropped a Grippo.
From girls only.
These Grippos came out of nowhere.
We had a Miracle Grippos show up. They're barbecue.
They were in our little bin here at work. Mike and I share a little bin here at work for snacks and treats.
Unbeknownst to us, because I never bring anything in the
place. I don't either.
Anything that we share doesn't
we just have it in our rooms.
Doesn't go to the bin. It goes to the office.
But in that bin was a bag of Grippos, so we're going to eat it.
Why not? Could have been misplaced. Doesn't matter. All right, we've got some things to catch up on.
Oh, my goodness. Do we?
Okay.
Do we ever.
Everybody knows that San Diego Comic-Con happened.
It happened.
Okay. I'm a little sick of hearing about it. I was glad to hear all the noise. News
it's ridiculous.
Out of it, but people everywhere, people who don't like comics are talking all about it. I don't know what's happened.
Too many people are into San Diego Con now. It's become too big of a show. It's all about movies and this and cosplay and that and this. Oh, it's what happened to the comic part? I don't remember any comic news. I didn't
no
see
comics.
Anything about comics. I saw some stuff about movies and TV shows and toys and some people wearing different outfits and things like that.
Not even stand-up comics.
Nothing about stand-up comics.
I thought that's what the show was for the longest time.
Well, it was funny because last week we were getting ready to do the show and we talked about what we were going to do for the show and we were like, well, should we talk about San Diego at all? Because we're having a lot to talk about. And we're like, well, we'll just wait, and we'll do it the next show. But now San Diego has happened since we had the mishap with the Dell, and there really isn't that much to talk about. There's very few things that I saw.
That's how you know if it's important or not.
Yeah.
If it sticks, is it going to last for 2 weeks? Is it going to
last
another week?
No, it didn't.
Most of it did not.
I can name it off real fast, the thing I'm excited about.
Go for it.
Mezco doing a 6-inch figure line that's like kind of like a 12-inch figure line, the 1/12 scale, with figures that are like the 1/6 scale with like cloth outfits, really nice articulation, and basically taking like a Hot Toy or Sideshow and shrinking it down. And the first figures they showed were Frank Miller Dark Knight Returns figures. Oh, there you go. And they're doing 1989 Batman figures. They had a little sign in there that showed that 89 Batman was coming in this line. Judge Dredd's happening in the line. There's no pricing yet, but the Dark Knight Returns figures look great. Very excited about those. Hot Toys finally showed the Batman Returns Batman, which has been talked about since January of 2012. It's 2.5 years that they've been sitting on that license, and they finally showed a Batman Returns Batman. Super excited about that.
Love that costume.
Oh, I love that suit. It's so good. NECA showed. NECA is always like the best of the show
now.
Really? They always are.
Really?
For me, I was really excited about the 7-inch Michael Keaton video game tribute figure. They said that's all they can do. It's a licensing loophole to be able to do a 7-inch Keaton. It's got to look like the video game. They can't do like a plain black one. But they've even come out and said it's pretty easy to customize if you decided you want a Michael Keaton Batman. And then they showed a quarter scale Danny DeVito Penguin, which I'm really excited about. And then there was a ton of stuff there that I think you were excited about from NECA.
They showed the Ripley
from Believe it or not.
From Alien. I didn't believe it.
Believe it or not.
It's good. That's good.
Ripley, believe it or not.
From the the museum place. So I think the Ripley looks awesome. They showed I saw a Rambo from First Blood Part 2.
Yeah.
So I'll be getting that.
I saw the packaged version of that today.
Oh, did you?
Looks really good.
I didn't see that.
Looks really good. And they showed more than just Ripley. They showed Dallas in the Stromo suit too.
Yes. Also looks very awesome.
Looks really cool.
There hasn't been a proper Ripley figure
ever,
except for the Super 7 just released the.
That's true.
That's true.
The vintage
but
style.
But before that, they're
well, and then Hot Toys showed their Ripleys. They're doing the Ripley from Alien and the Ripley from Aliens and the Power Loader.
That's right. That looks great.
Those are really good. Hot Toys showed, you know, I was kind of down on Hot Toys the last couple of years, but I think that they really showed a lot of cool stuff this year. They showed that Batman Returns Batman. They showed Marty McFly in the DeLorean, which has been long promised.
That looks awesome, too.
And looks so good.
That looks really cool.
Then they showed the Alien stuff. They showed an Arkham City Batman, which has been promised for a long time, and they finally got around to showing that. It was almost like they dusted off a catalog, like, oh, wait a second, we have all these licenses. Let's put this stuff out this year. It was really nice to see them finally doing some things they've been promising for a while. Other than that, I don't remember a ton of stuff at the show that really got me jazzed. There was the Batman versus Superman thing, which everybody went nuts for. Okay, we got to see a quick snippet of Ben Affleck in a very Dark Knight Returns suit, shining a light up at Superman. Now, I love the Dark Knight Returns. It's my favorite comic miniseries of all time. And I was excited as anybody else to see that suit in live action. The problem being that his suit has no business being in that movie.
In the second Superman.
The second Superman movie, which now they're calling Batman versus Superman. It's not the second Superman movie.
Okay.
But either way, it's the introduction of this film universe's Batman. It's the first interaction between Batman and Superman. It has no business doing Dark Knight Returns in that movie. Dark Knight Returns is the end of their careers. Right. Not the beginning, the first meetup.
Right.
It's a long history building up to that. I don't want to go too much off on this because we can do a whole episode about that kind of stuff. But
I don't know.
That to me wasn't that exciting.
You don't know yet.
Yeah.
But it does seem... There seems to be a theme of sort of like this impatience.
Yeah. Got to do it now.
With things like that. Like then you know the Dark Knight Returns is popular. You know that look is popular right now with the shorter ears and the bulkiness, which is great. I think he looks cool in it. But with that suit, with the mechanical...
Yeah,
suit. It's like, well, hurry up. Let's
we got to do it now.
With Captain America, that's one thing that I appreciate with them because they said, let's do Cap's origin story. Let's make it a World War II
exactly.
era film. And you know they could have been pushing you know to get it up to where it is up to where he is now. But they went ahead and did that film, and I think it was better. It was better.
Oh, no doubt. I think that Warner has definitely saw that. Oh, Avengers is huge. Let's take the fastest route we can do to get there. Because people like Dark Knight Returns. That's a very popular story. Put that in there. Oh, let's do that. And then everybody will glom onto that, and the fanboys will love it. And then we'll move on, and we'll get this, and we'll do that. And it's like, that's not the route you take. And I was making this, I made this analogy on Facebook, that this would have been like had Marvel done an Iron Man movie, and then immediately jumped into an Avengers movie, where they introduce Captain America for the first time,
right.
And they use the comic storyline Civil War, which is basically Cap's guys versus Iron Man's guys, and them at odds with each other, them fighting each other. That'd be his introduction. You would not care about that fight, because you wouldn't know Captain America, and you wouldn't know, there would be no history between them.
Right.
It would mean nothing to you. So you'd waste that comic storyline completely, just as an easy way to get, we're doing it. We're doing this right now. Yeah. Oh, Dark Knight Returns, you like that, we're doing it. It's right now. It's happening,
right.
And it's like that's okay, guys.
Plus, with all the other, it seems like that in itself is a big enough story without having Wonder Woman involved, and I can't even remember who else is in it.
Yeah.
I think was The Rock in it, or is that?
I'm moving away from but The Rock is rumored to be playing Shazam.
Yeah. I have comments on that also. Is that in that movie, or is that a different...
I don't believe Shazam's in there. I think the only ones they've confirmed, or at least that are heavily rumored, are Cyborg, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Lex Luthor, right. and then the possibility of Jason Momoa as Aquaman.
Okay. That seems like that's plenty of people and to have that story going on. Whatever. I will say on the positive side, at least with this new Batman, it seems like every time now when they introduce a new Batman, they start all over with his story.
Yeah.
I don't need a reboot of Batman, so at least they're not doing that.
I agree.
But to introduce this Ben Affleck as Batman, I would like him to just have his own story as Batman.
Yep.
Doesn't have to be. I know his parents were killed.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be an origin.
I know that he, you know, was troubled youth and grew up and became Batman. I know that. Okay. So let's put that to rest. I don't need the origin of everything now. Just an adventure. Just a Batman story would be nice.
But they don't want to do that because that's another movie in the way of them getting to Justice League. And right. for them,
oh, yeah,
Justice League is Avengers. Yeah, that's what they want. They want Avengers.
That's what they're doing.
And so it's as fast as they can get there. Another thing is everything I'm hearing is that it really is like a Batman coming out of retirement. Like he's been Batman for a long time and he stops being Batman or something like that. But he's not like a new Batman. It's not new. He's been Batman for a while or something like that. And so we're missing all that time of him being Batman, because you can't now go back and have Ben Affleck play him still and have him play him younger.
Oh, but they will. Also, I would like to point out that all these people that are excited about this now hated Ben Affleck. Affleck when they announced it. I would also like to point out that Action Features said that we liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can go back and re-listen if you want to.
And both of us have never said that we think that Ben Affleck is... That we've never raised a ruckus about Ben Affleck being Batman.
I've liked him the whole time.
I have, too. I have never had a problem with that. It's my problem is the movie.
Yeah. On The Rock. Let's move on from this. I don't want to bash it too much.
Yeah, we got lots of covers, so we can't stick on, moving on too many things too
to
long.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson. Dear Hollywood, enough. Enough is enough. I don't blame The Rock for signing on to something, but you know what?
I don't either.
He's not Shazam.
He's not.
They act like he's the only guy with muscles in Hollywood.
Yeah.
He's the only guy with bulk that's available. That's what they're acting like. And just sign him for everything. It's called overexposure.
Oh, no doubt.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson, you might be getting a paycheck, but let me tell you, your career's... It's not going to keep going this way, where you can just sign any and every movie.
Hercules, I hear, was terrible.
You're in Hercules. You're in Fast and Furious. You're in...
He wants to be in the next Expendables. He wants to fight the Expendables in the next
Expendables. You're in G.I. Joe. Of course he does.
Yeah.
He's going to be in the Expendables. And I think he deserves a spot in that.
Yeah.
Just from all the work that he's put into being in action films and stuff, but... And I like him. I like him.
Yeah.
But it's going to be one of those things like with Samuel L. Jackson where it's like, can you please stop putting him in things? Because I'm tired
of it. Now it just becomes kind of a joke.
Yeah, it's a joke. Every single thing that comes out, it's like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson. You know, okay, man.
Plus, he's just not Shazam. Like,
is C-3PO.
He's
going to be C-3PO in the next Star Wars.
Heard.
Yeah.
I could see him as Black Adam.
I could see that.
He has the kind of the personality of Black Adam.
Yeah.
But the problem then would be getting an actor that could play Shazam against The Rock's Black Adam, which would be tough.
I think they could find somebody.
But they could, and they're scared. Everybody said, well, you can't find anybody against The Rock then. Okay, wait a second. Jack Nicholson played the Joker, and everybody thought there's nobody that could play against Jack Nicholson. Michael Keaton did a fantastic job.
There are probably...
You can find somebody.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of you don't really want to, so it's... Oh, he'll be Shazam.
Well, they're trying to cash in on some sort of popularity, like name recognition. But the name recognition is a Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
That's the if you're selling to the comic crowd, that's the name. That movie, you know.
Yeah, Marvel didn't worry about that when they cast Thor.
Right.
Chris Hemsworth was nobody.
He was nobody. I got to say that Captain America. I didn't really.
I knew him from Torch. That was about it. And I was disappointed when he was first cast.
Right.
I was worried about it because all I thought of him was as Torch.
Right.
But he's a great actor, and he was acting as Torch. That wasn't him.
Right.
It's not like Ryan Reynolds, where Ryan Reynolds plays the same guy every single time. Chris Evans actually can act and can play different characters. But yeah, I can only think of. I think that, you know, Robert Downey Jr. as Iron Man.
Yeah.
That's a name.
And he was, but he was perfect for
it. He was perfect for it. And at the time, he wasn't a big star again. He lost his luster.
Right, exactly.
I mean, but everybody else that's in the Marvel films, they're picking the right actors for these roles, and it's not a matter of, let's get the big name.
Yeah.
Let's get the big name in there. Chris Pratt as Star-Lord in Guardians of the Galaxy? What's he doing? He's on Parks and Recreation in a couple films here and there, and he's headlining Guardians of the Galaxy. They chose the right actor for the role. They didn't go... Let's get this big name actor to play this role.
When's that come out, by the way?
It comes out tomorrow.
So this
tomorrow.
I might try and see that. I don't know.
I want to see. Everybody's comparing it to Star Wars. They're like, it's got a very Star Wars feel to it. You want to be with these characters on the space adventure, but the characters come first. Like you really like this group of characters.
I'm not going to get my hopes up.
It's doing really good though. Like
I'm
in
sure
the reviews and stuff.
It looks fun.
Here's a big surprise.
It just looks like a fun movie. Yes.
Turtles is getting great reviews.
That's a big surprise.
That brings me
to another point. I got a Pizza Hut pizza today, and I received an ad because they're doing the special, and
yeah.
I got to looking at it. Look how stupid this looks.
Oh, yeah, it looks dumb.
Picture of Leonardo. Okay, I don't care what your thought process is here. I don't care if you think this is more realistic or a turtle's proportions or would actually be a certain way in real life or whatever your reasoning was. To have something be cool, it has to have a cool look to it. It has to have proportions to it. There's a certain amount. This looks like a giant blob of nothing.
Yeah, they look
like it looks
like
garbage.
Hulks.
It looks like garbage.
They look like the Hulk movie, the Ang Lee Hulk movie, but with shells
and without the proportion, like without big muscles. It just looks like a giant ball.
It's a very strange design. I don't know. I mean,
yeah.
Obviously, they were trying to do something completely different than what's happened before.
They're very, very,
very,
very odd
looking.
Very, just.
I gotta say, I do love the Pizza Hut.
The physicality.
Thing.
Oh, sure.
They've got their own. They got the katana slash where they cut it in four. They've got Turtles specific pizzas, like you order the Donatello, you order the Michelangelo. I would have loved that as a kid.
That's great.
To go in and say, I want to order the Michelangelo. And they made a full size pizza thrower that they're going to tour at different places. That's all really cool.
I
think that's neat stuff. But yeah, it's getting good reviews. I mean, there's a lot of this stuff that we're going to have to, you know, go in more depth next time around.
There's
so much to cover.
I'm going to tell you, I'm not going to go see it to comment on it. I can't say that it's bad.
Keaton wants to see it, so I'll be seeing it.
Okay, well,
I'll let you know.
You let me know what
you
think. I'm not going to see it. Even if you come back and tell me it's really good, I'm not going
to
see it.
Blaze has a letter he wrote to the show.
Yeah, let's get to
that. But I wasn't sure if there's any other announcements from San Diego that you want to cover.
Oh, yeah, well,
like DVD announcements or anything like that? Or did you want to go a different route with the show?
Well, I haven't decided. What do you think?
I don't really know.
It doesn't matter either way.
I mean,
we can do both.
I don't really know how we'd do both.
I'll show you how.
Okay.
San Diego.
Is there any other DVD announcements from San Diego Con?
At San Diego Comic Con, they announced the DVD release, finally, of the 1980s series Night Dads.
Are you kidding me?
Night Dads is coming out.
I loved Night Dads.
I did too.
It was probably my second favorite show.
I still do love Night Dads.
I do. I haven't seen it in so long. It's almost like it's lost. It's like they lost.
It's like
Dads.
A lost series.
It's really like a lost series.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Small Wonder, but Small Wonder got DVD treatment for the first two seasons. But Night Dads has had nothing.
Well, they were able to do it.
They were.
Because of the time machine that we invented.
Oh! Is that how they pulled it off?
You see how I did that?
Oh, I see.
Because
what you
of the
did.
Time machine.
You used both the segues we had come up with
That's
for Night
right.
Dads.
That's right. So, what James and I have done.
You're welcome.
Here's what happened. We invented this time machine. And on the list of things possible to do,
Dave Fledgey helped us with it.
Dave Fledgey helped us with the time machine. We could have stopped the Holocaust.
Could have done that.
We could have taken computers back and to a primitive
taught
civilization.
Some things. Yeah.
Taught some things. There was a lot of
maybe done some investments. So we'd have a little extra scratch.
We could have done some investments. We could have
why do that
stopped,
stuff though?
Put an end to malaria. We could have helped with that.
Who needs all that
medicine,
stuff? That's ridiculous. Those
like
are
that.
Too big. Those tasks are too big.
We really weren't up for it.
We didn't want to do that.
So we did the next best thing, which was really the important thing.
Yeah,
was to write a hit series and take back to 1987
that combines a lot of the elements that you might have loved in some other 80s series.
Oh.
Into one, like, Frankenstein series. That's like, it's our Frankenstein monster sitcom series.
It's brilliant.
And it's going to be...
And without our help...
It's going to be the best show that you forgot.
Without this show, without us, this show wouldn't have existed.
Oh, do you remember the theme song for Night Dads?
Now that
we've gone back and put Night Dads back into 1987...
I can't remember.
Let's see.
Oh,
what was that game again? I think it went like this.
Love don't need a time frame, because family is around the clock. When you need a shoulder to cry on, there's eight right around the block.
Yeah.
Night Dads. there when you need them. Night dads, take care and believe them, because there's never a wrong time for love.
That was it.
That was the one.
That was the theme song. I remember
that song now from that hit show.
And they would do a little boom, 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 boom when they go to like different scenes and stuff like that. Yeah. You know, they have little transitions.
I remember.
Hey,
Night
do
Dads.
You happen to have the DVD jacket? Here it is.
There it is.
I've opened it.
That's the DVD.
There's the DVD jacket. Do you remember a little bit about Night Dads?
Well, I remember something. I don't think our listeners remember Night Dads.
Maybe they
even
don't.
Though
Even though it happened back in 1987.
Even though it happened in 1987.
Well, in case you've forgotten, through the haze of the 90s...
Read them about it.
Here it is. Maybe this will jog your memories.
Maybe this will jog your memories.
Maybe this will jog your memories.
Hey, maybe this will run all over your memories.
Maybe this will be your mnemonic device.
Okay.
Will Dugman was a single dad looking for work. All that changed when he took a live-in landscaping job for Cindy Sellersmith. The two fell in love and had three beautiful daughters. But then Cindy died, and Will was left with four girls to raise, and no job to provide for them. Will takes the only job he can get, working as a bailiff at the local night court.
Of course.
But what about his girls? Thankfully, you can always count on family. In a bizarre coincidence, Will receives help from three places all at once.
Yes.
Mishki, Will's crazy cousin from Palermia, traveled across the ocean to begin a new life in America, with his cousin Will being the only person he knows in this strange world. Mishki struggles with American customs, all the while plying his trade at night at the local American burger joint. JP, Will's brother-in-law, a former butler from London turned struggling artist, decides to stick around after Cindy's funeral to help raise his nieces. JP lives to work on his art, but only at night. But his background in butlering
That's where inspiration hits.
But his background in butlering often puts him at odds with Scott, the neighborhood nanny that Cindy had hired just before her death to help watch over the girls, unbeknownst to Will.
Mm.
Scott may know a lot about raising teenage girls, but he leaves a lot to be desired when it comes to housekeeping at night. Much to the chagrin of former butler JP.
Yes. There's going to be some conflict between
those
two.
There's going to be some conflict. So now we've got...
That's a good setup.
We've got four guys in the house taking care of four girls.
Mm-hmm.
They all work at night.
Yes.
Thus, night dads. But what about those four girls?
What about them? Who are they?
There's Jennifer. She's the eldest girl, who has lost both her biological mom and her adopted mom, Cindy.
Oh, that's right.
You talk about bad luck. But that won't stop her from being the most popular girl in school and one snappy dresser.
Oh, she's got the hits.
Then we have Danny, D-A-N-I.
Nice.
The proverbial tomboy. You'll catch her out on the sports playing fields before you'll find this gal at the mall. You know her.
I know, I can picture her.
Next up is Ruth, a total nerd. Few ever see Ruth's nose, since it's always planted firmly in her science books.
Oh, what a nerd.
What a total nerd.
Ruth. She's not a baby Ruth. Okay. She'll never be called baby Ruth.
Here we go. And last but not least, there's KT. K period. T period.
Yeah. It's an anagram.
Cute as a button and the youngest of the Dugman brood. Talk about quips. This gal's loaded with them, including her trademark sayings, "It's time to turn on the charm. Come to Papa." And aw, snickersnaps.
Come to Papa. Who's now? I know there's a supporting cast on here.
Okay. Oh, of course there is. With characters like these, other folks are bound to show up. Like Judge Mallet, the presiding judge of the night court where Will works. Talk about your hard cases. This guy has one for the books.
What a hard case.
But beneath that gruff exterior might just be a heart of gold, if Will can just manage not to mess up long enough to see it. Then there's Tammy, the pesky neighbor. Sure, she should have she should love a stud like JP, but she's only got eyes for lovable Mishki. And while Mishki remains foreign, and thus totally oblivious to her advances, JP will stop at nothing to understand why pesky Tammy, who he has no romantic interest in, would choose the dopey Mishki over him. With their days spent watching the girls and their nights spent working at their individual jobs, these four men will do their best job they can as night dads.
Oh, it's a beautiful show.
It's so, I remember so many good episodes.
There were a lot of good episodes.
Oh, there were so, do you have those liner notes?
Yeah, I do have the liner notes from the DVD. Let me open the DVD here.
Oh. Oh, thankfully there's two copies of that in there. Oh, yeah, just
there it is.
Move the VHS aside.
I got that.
Oh, here we go.
Put it out on VHS. Here it is.
Well, we all know the pilot episode where everything happens, where, you know, Will makes the journey to get this live-in landscaping job with his daughter, and then he meets and falls in love.
I know about that episode.
They have three children. You know, Cindy dies, and all he did was live in landscaping, so he had to find something, and so he becomes that bailiff. So that's the pilot episode.
That's all I could fall back on. That's all that was available.
Well, what happened after the pilot?
Well, there was the episode. Let's see. There was the
episode. You know what? The pages sticking together? Is that what's taking so long?
Well, yeah. I think on your DVD set they're written up much nicer. So I'm trying to. There was the one where Danny gets picked on at school. With the school bully.
That was a good one.
Yeah.
I liked that one.
Well, it was tough because all the night dads, each one was trying to give her their tips. Each one was trying to give her their different tips on self-defense, on how to deal with a bully.
One said turn the other cheek. I can't remember which night dad it was.
I think it was Scott.
Yeah, I think it was Scott.
He said
turn the other cheek.
Kill him with kindness.
Yeah.
And JP was trying to show her the martial arts moves.
And Mishki wanted to go beat him up himself. He didn't understand the whole age differences thing. He wasn't allowed.
They don't have that.
That was a good one. It wasn't one of my favorite episodes.
It wasn't one of mine either.
It was a good one. I did like the episode, The Art Gallery. What does this say here?
Oh, here
it
is. Here, read it.
While JP is preparing his new art to show a prospective buyer, lovable Mishki accidentally leaves one of his greasy burger bags on top of a blank canvas. When the art dealer shows up to purchase JP's art, the grease-stained canvas is mistaken for an art piece, which the buyer loves. Now JP must struggle with trying to convince Mishki to make more stained art. Will art success go to Mishki's head? Also, KT wants a new puppy.
Yeah, I remember
there was
that
always
one.
Those little KT
had a thing
storylines going on. She was easily the most popular of the
daughters. I remember that episode. It was complete hygiene.
Oh. Mishki was, you know, I don't want to do more art.
JP was very upset.
Yeah. He got real mad at first.
Understandably.
When the canvas was ruined, and then he was like, Mishki, earlier when I said about the canvas getting messed up, I was just joking about that, buddy.
And then they worked out that deal where he was going to pretend that it was his art.
Yes.
And Mishki didn't understand that he was being had, really.
He
wasn't getting paid for it.
He didn't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember that one.
That was a good one.
There was saving up is hard to do.
Oh, that was a good one.
You remember that episode?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Okay, when Jennifer sees her friend Rachel's hot new Walkman, she has to get one. But when each of the night dads turn her down for the money, her dad suggests that she gets a job to pay for it. So, what does she do? You remember?
I remember.
Yeah, Tammy comes over. Her washing machine is broken.
It's totally broken.
So Jennifer gets the idea to start her own laundry service. But when she uses dish soap instead of detergent, Jennifer will find out that saving up is hard to do.
As the title said.
As the title of the show said.
That's what the title of the episode was.
There's suds everywhere in the house.
It's
complete chaos.
That really reminds me of the episode.
She ruins everybody's clothing.
You know, speaking of ruining things around the house.
She dries all the clothing on full heat. You may not know what happens.
Oh, they get ruined.
They shrink to dolly size.
Which is weird that, you know, with two housekeepers in the house, that something wasn't done. Oh, that reminds me of the episode Battle of the Housekeepers. Remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
When JP finally gets fed up with Scott's lackluster housekeeping skills, it becomes an all-out war of the housekeepers. Each night dad tries to better the other in a battle of cleaning abilities, with pesky neighbor Tammy and Will's boss Judge Mallet presiding over the contest.
Mm.
Also, KT sabotages a housekeeping contest in this episode.
Oh.
Yeah, you remember that?
That reminds me, there was an episode in season two, it was very similar.
Oh, what was that one?
The Buttle Off.
Oh, I do remember that
where
one.
They finally decide to settle it once and for all with a contest.
With four guys and four daughters in the house, they were bound to have the same scenarios pop up every once in a while.
Yeah, it happens. It happens for sure.
Like, well, there was a season one episode, I think that you, I think you've got the season one liner notes with the driving.
Oh, that was the driving where Jennifer. I'm sorry, not Jennifer. Danny was that?
No, I think the season one was
season
Jennifer.
One was Jennifer. Yeah. She was taking. She was getting her driving lessons. She was getting her temps, her license.
Yeah, and I so all that. Because she was the oldest of the girls.
Right.
Yeah.
And she was driving a very small car. Maybe a Mini Cooper.
All of them are in there.
And all of them are in there. Maybe it's even a two-seater. Yeah. I don't remember exactly. But all the night dads were in there, in the car, tired as can be because they've been up all night, trying to give her
night.
Driving instructions. She's driving this way and that, swerving. Poof. It was chaotic.
That's crazy.
It was hectic.
That reminds me of the second season episode, The Driving Lesson. When it's Danny's time to learn to drive.
Oh, snap.
All four night dads want to be the teacher again, and they all get in the car. Hilarity ensues when all five count in the car for the lessons. But will Danny give up due to the craziness? Did she give up? I think she did give up. I don't think she got a license.
She never did.
Also, KT meets the neighborhood boy, Scotty Lumpus.
Oh, Scotty Lumpus.
Yeah,
they have
a little rivalry, you know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Of course, there was...
That was second season.
Of course, there was the house guest episode where...
I don't remember that one.
Well, there was no more room at the jail where Will Dugman works.
That's right.
And so he goes ahead and he brings this defendant to stay at his house with him. And the girls love him. He's giving them lollipops and teaching them magic tricks, things
like
that. I hate
when the jails run out of room.
I know. It's the safest thing to do. Yep. I mean, they have to go somewhere. So Will being a kind-hearted dad.
Well, he wanted to get in with Judge Mallet.
That's right. He's trying to impress Judge Mallet.
Judge Mallet, I've got room at my house.
Who, by the way, stops by the house in that episode, if you remember correctly.
You don't see Judge Mallet show up at the house very often.
He doesn't very often, but when he does, it's a real treat. He makes the most of it. But the girls kind of, they're looking up to this possible alleged criminal, and the night dads have to step in and make sure that they're looking up to the right people and not the wrong people.
Well, that's what the night dads do.
That's what they do. They're great.
I remember the episode, The Bad Grade.
What was that like?
That's when the nerd Ruth gets a B in history. You know? Remember that nerd?
I remember the nerd.
Her entire outlook changed. She becomes a frumpy mess, even more than before, and quits caring about everything. Help came from an unlikely source, though, when her elder, way more popular sister Jennifer, steps in to get the teacher to change her grade.
Oh, nice.
Also in that episode, KT dealt with the death of her new puppy. It didn't last long, that puppy.
One or two episodes. It was rough.
It was a life lesson.
Well, you know, it was a life lesson.
Everything dies.
That's kind of reminiscent of the first season episode, Science Not So Fair.
I do remember that
one. You remember that?
I do remember that one.
I think it was also known as Science of the Times.
Overseas. Of the Times. Yep.
Science of the Times overseas.
Because they don't have science fairs overseas.
Yep. Will Dugman is too busy to help Ruthie with her erupting volcano science project. So he enlists the help of Mishki, who has the week off. But Mishki, having just seen Star World for the first time, talks her into building a rocket ship instead. But Mishki doesn't know how to build a rocket. With crude diagrams, a wacky uncle, and constant interruptions from nosy Tammy, Ruth is certain she'll be the laughingstock of the science fair.
Mishki just—he wanted so bad.
He wanted so bad to
make the rocket.
We could live this dream.
We could make the rocket.
He thought that he could live out the Star World dream.
He thought he could with a model rocket
through the science.
He thought he could do the science fair. That Mishki. I remember an episode of Mishki. Let me see what's on here. Oh, yep, there it is. Disc 3. My daughter, .. My boss? When Jennifer takes a job at Sammy's Slam Burgers, her popularity quickly moves her into the management position. Over Mishki. Now things at home become tough for lovable Mishki, as the line between being a night dad and being her employee becomes blurred. Uh-oh. Also, KT becomes addicted to Slam Burger fries, and Will worries about her health. That was a double whammy in the episode because they were both bringing home this food.
Yeah.
And KT was saying, "Did you get my fries? Come to Papa." And then, you know, the other one would come home and she'd say, "You got my fries, right?"
Yeah.
Time to turn on the charm.
Time to turn on the charm.
Before they would show up and she'd get double the dose of the fries. And Will was like, "You're becoming obese."
Double the one-liners.
Yeah. And so, it was a good one. And Jennifer was at home saying, "I don't think I'm going to clean up my room, Mishki." And you have to clean your room. And she would say, well, maybe I'll make you do a double shift tonight at the Sammy Slamburgers. And he'd, oh, no! And then he would be upset.
Maybe she was subconsciously getting him back for the Big Head of the Month episode.
That's one of my favorites.
Mishki gets the Employee of the Month at work at Sammy Slamburgers. But it starts getting to his head. So at home, he starts bossing everybody. Or acting like the head honcho.
He was the boss. Will's the head honcho.
Will is the top dad.
Yeah, he's the top night dad.
Top night dad.
Yeah. His shift starts first.
Oh, there was
being night dad.
they packed so many extras and everything into this. Oh. Was it a 5-disc set?
Oh, at least.
What other...
It's at least 5 discs in here. let me flip through here. Oh, yeah. That's easily 5 discs. Oh. Maybe more. Oh.
Maybe we shouldn't have done this. Maybe we've made a mistake. We'll have to go back in time and stop our past selves from taking Night Dad's back.
Why would you do that, though?
Then
you wouldn't be able to relive episodes like The Cold Case. When Will discovers a long-lost file folder at his night court, he quickly switches into detective mode in an attempt to solve the long-buried case and, of course, impress Judge Mallet. But he may end up in hot water, as it looks like the culprit might be his fellow night dad, Scott. Also, KT bakes her first cookies, and they're terrible.
You can't do this as a bailiff. You can't crack open old cases and try and solve them.
You can in 87.
You can in 87, that's right.
You remember he had the pipe and the
Sherlock Holmes hat and the bubble pipe, the giant bubble pipe? He was solving the crime.
Yep. And it looks like the culprit... Oh, no. It's Scott! He didn't know what to do. He couldn't turn in his fellow night dad.
A little lighter note, there was Rock Around the Clock, where the girls wanted to start a rock band, a family rock band the sisters did. But the noise is keeping the dads up during the daytime because
that's
they work all night.
Because
they're night dads. So they have the girls start practicing at night. But guess what? That's not going to turn out good either because the neighbors start complaining about the noise. Especially Tammy. And the only way you're going to shut her up is to give her a spot in the band. But guess what? She can't play anything. Oh, she's ruining the whole thing for everybody. Nobody knows how this one's going to turn out. I don't even remember the end of this one. I think it just kind of ends. And then the next episode, no instruments to be found. I guess I never got the band off the ground with that one. I remember that one.
Yeah, keep it together. You want to read another episode?
Yeah. I mean, there was Loose Lips, where KT hears Tammy she adopts the practice. She goes around. Do you remember that she gossips to each person, each member of the family?
She goes to each member of the family
and gossips about something another member of the family has done.
Oh, I remember.
But the truth gets exaggerated. Everybody gets upset, and it gets out of control until they find out who the culprit is, where these things originated from.
And it's her.
It was a valuable life lesson for KT.
I remember that one.
Yeah.
Oh, hey, man.
Yeah.
You remember the season one cliffhanger episode? It was a two-parter. I think it was called Goodbye Mishki, Part 1 and 2. Let me see if it's on here.
Oh.
Oh, yep. Here it is. When Mishki feels left out by the rest of the family over them forgetting his birthing day, he makes a hasty retreat back to Palermia. But it turns out that the gang was just planning a surprise party. And now the entire Dugman crew must travel to Palermia to win Mishki back before he marries the goat herder's daughter. Also, KT milks a goat.
Ah.
It was a great two-parter.
I remember those two-parters.
It was, they got away from the house for once. You know, there was... Yeah. A lot of the Night Dad's episodes happen either in the house or at Sammy Slamburger's or the school. This one was like, wow, they're in a different place.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
That was exciting because they got out. out of the set.
And I remember the guy that played Mishki was in like contract negotiations or something.
They couldn't have him
people
around.
People were worried that he wasn't going to come back for right. season two, but he did.
He did come back for season two. Yeah. He wound up not being a
success.
Not doing anything else. Things. Well, that's probably almost enough. But I mean, it's worth mentioning the episode.
I don't know if it's enough.
The girls are back in town.
Oh, I do remember that one.
Where Will's four lady cousins come from out of town to stay with the guys. The girls have a new role model, but guess who's not liking it? Tammy.
Oh, not at all.
She's super jealous the whole time, not knowing that it's her cousin. She thinks the guys have a bunch of squeezes.
Chicks now.
And Mishki has spent a lot of time with one of the cousins.
That wasn't one of my favorite episodes.
It wasn't one of mine either.
It was my favorites.
Because
it was too Tammy-centric. You know?
There's a lot of Tammy. There's a lot of ladies in the house.
I do remember this one.
The guys had a hard time with it.
Speaking of love.
Yeah.
The hot date.
Oh.
Will meets Scott's mom.
Ooh.
And the sparks fly.
I remember that one. It was sizzling.
Despite already losing two lady loves to tragedy, Will hopes that the third time will be the charm and decides to ask her out. But fellow night dad Scott and the girls want no part of it. The date goes from hot to not as Scott and the girls ruin Will's new chance at romance. Also, KT makes a friend in an unlikely place. Judge Mallet? Can you believe it?
Oh, I can't believe it.
I remember that one didn't have a happy ending. They just ruined the date. They ruined his chances of love.
Well, I think the girl dies.
I think she does, too. Will's mom dies.
The car explodes.
Or Scott's mom.
So there's
the
car explosion.
The car explodes at the end. And yeah. Scott feels bad afterwards, but at the same time, he's like, well, at least Will didn't have to go through the tragedy of losing another.
And at least we're back to...
We're back where we are.
The way we like it.
And
the way we like things.
KT's getting along like crazy with Judge Mallet.
Yeah.
You got any more?
No, I'm done.
You not going to do any more?
I'm done.
Oh.
What else is on
that? Oh, well, they introduced that new character in the season two.
Oh, I remember season two.
Towards the end of the season when things were starting to...
What was his name? Paucho?
No, come on, man.
Ching.
You must have stopped watching
Ching
after a
Wing.
While. I think it was in the episode... Let me see if...
See.
Check these liner notes.
Look on the DVD liner notes. Open the case up. There, like that.
Oh, here they are. Oh. Yep, here at the end. New boy in the neighborhood. The night dads decide it's time for the family to expand. So they decide to adopt.
Not enough people. They have
a small Chinese boy named Bao Ji wins their hearts and soon adds
Bao
to the family
Xi.
Dynamic.
That's right.
But is KT jealous of the new arrival?
Yeah.
Also, KT discovers a hidden room behind the bookshelf, but only Bao Ji can fit through the doorway. So now she has to rely on Bao Ji.
I remember that, yes.
Because he's the only one that can sneak into places.
All the rest of the season, she's got him going in there, telling her what's inside.
What's in the room?
Would you go in there for me? Would you take this thing in there and hide it for me?
Thinks she hates her, and they won't talk to each other. And Bao Ji. She notices the room, and she's like, who could fit in there? Bao Ji. Time to turn on the charm. And then she goes and gets Bao Ji, and...
It was a good dynamic at first, but it's...
You got tired of Bao Ji.
It was getting a little desperate.
Yeah.
Getting a little desperate, the show did.
But it was a great show.
Wow. It was a great show.
For at least the first season and a half.
Yeah.
It was great.
I got to tell you, that's... Most of the... I mean, seriously, we wrote those...
In about 5 minutes.
I mean, it took no time.
And every one of these could have been an episode of an 80s sitcom.
That's more than a full season.
This is a show, right?
We have
here.
A full season written. Anybody who's got money and wants to put money into this, go ahead and tell us.
When you go back and look at the shows that happened in the 80s,
that's exactly what
And you read this premise in these episodes,
it works.
We could have gone to some place like CBS or ABC or something like that and gone, this is our show premise, and they would have gone, that sounds great.
You know what? That sounds great. We're going to give you guys
It sounds
money.
Like you've combined all of our other shows into one show.
You know what? You've made one great show out of all of our other
You've taken
you know,
Mike Gore,
entertaining
Perfect
shows.
Strangers. You've taken
Full
Who's
House.
The Boss? Charles in Charge?
Full House.
Mr. Belvedere? Full
Webster.
House. Webster. You've taken all of our shows and made one show out of it.
You've made one great show out of
now,
it.
Now, nobody has to watch any other shows. They can just watch this show.
They have a monopoly on the shows.
So there you go. Night Dads.
Night Dads.
That was our kind of our love letter to 80s sitcoms.
We love Night Dads. We love Night Dads.
We didn't want to do like a top 5 sitcoms.
No.
But we wanted to do something about sitcoms. All right, so let's end the episode with...
So we wrote our own.
Oh, and if you want to see the Night Dads television series logo, it's going to be on actionfeatures.net and on facebook.com/actionfeatures.
Yes.
All right, so my son Blaze, who's the Action Features number one fan...
He is.
Wrote a letter to Action Features for episode number 64.
He told me about it when I saw him in person, yeah. And I've been anticipating
and
it.
And he even says on here, do not open until episode 64, and I have not opened this.
Good for you.
To Mike and James, I am your number one fan. I love Action Features. I'm still waiting on a toy line and a CD, based on Action Features, I guess.
Oh, I'm waiting for that, too.
Oh, speaking of the CD, I picked what songs are going to be on it. Ninja Turtles, the original theme song, I guess. He says old song. DuckTales, Darkwing Duck, Dinosaucers, Perfect Strangers, Transformers from the old cartoon, Small Wonder, the first Turtle rap, and the Mike's Action Features rap, which I think are all songs that we sang on the show.
Okay, so we have to compile all these onto a disc.
Yeah.
What if we re-sing them?
I think we could do that.
Just re-sing them all. And put them as a track.
Okay, Mike,
separate tracks.
This is for you. Mike, I love the new Action Features logo.
Oh, thank you.
I sent him the... You made the 89 Batman tribute logos.
Yeah.
I sent this to him. Mike, are you going to see Transformers 4 since your favorite Decepticon Slag is in it? He's doing callbacks on other episodes
yeah,
here.
Yeah, and he's taking a jab at me, too.
That's great.
That was nice. I have to say that if... I'm not going to see Transformers 4, and as a matter of fact, if anybody asks me about it or wants to talk about it, I'm just going to
walk away.
That's it.
I'm just going to walk away.
I'm just going to walk away.
Okay, where was I? Okay. What is your favorite Action Features moment?
Oh.
Do you want to answer that? Because he keeps saying, and then he goes on and says my favorite moment after that.
Okay, the one that comes to mind almost immediately is when we're doing our top five, I think, most disappointing films, I think.
Yeah.
And we both, at the same time, said our number one because we were both sure that it was going to be Kingdom of Crystal Skull.
That was a great moment.
And that was...
That was a very funny moment.
Yeah, that we hit something... There,
I really liked, I guess that would be the moment, yeah. I mean, I really liked the Batman episodes. I thought those were a lot of fun to do.
Oh, those were, I mean, yeah, those were great as far as full episodes.
But yeah, I think you might be right. I think that is one of the best moments of the show. It's a very funny moment.
I think episode 50, where I put all the stuff in,
that was great.
Like all my favorite moments all in that.
All right, well, he says that my favorite moment is the Wanda Sykes Wonder Woman impersonation.
I love Wanda Sykes' impressions.
That's great. Let's see. You should have an all He-Man episode.
That's good.
And he would like to be on a Raiders of the Lost Ark episode.
Well, that's a good idea because I was hoping to cover the indie films the same way that we did Batman and
that'd be great.
And Star Wars.
Yeah.
So sometime soon, I think we should get to those. And I would love to have Blaze.
Blaze should come on for one here. And then he's got a bunch of scratch marks here where he wrote from your, and he crossed it out, and he crossed it out, and he says, from your number one fan, Blaze.
You got to get it right.
Works. And they put Blaze in a different color ink.
That's cool.
And he says, P.S. Sorry about all the mess-ups on the closing.
That's all right.
He apologizes for all the mess-ups.
You got to get it right. Hey, look, if you start in pen, you're taking a chance.
You're taking a chance. Hey, thanks, Blaze. That was a great letter, man.
Thanks. Speaking of Crystal Skull and Blaze, I hear that he inadvertently got Tabe'd recently.
He did. Okay, so Blaze got a bunch of birthday money. And we went to Mavericks, one of the local comic shops, and he went and bought some card sets. He bought like a Death of Superman card set, and he bought an Indiana Jones card set that was sitting there. And Leo, who runs that shop, is super, super nice guy. And he cut Blaze a really great deal on them both. Basically
don't,
paid.
Don't expect price. The same deal if you go in there.
Don't. I've known Leo since I was a little kid. So we got to the car. He's digging through that Death of Superman set, and he's like, oh, this set's great. This is so cool. It's got Cyborg Superman. It's got Superboy. He's like, I'm going to check out the Indiana Jones cards now. He busts it open. He starts looking through them, and he starts getting faster looking through them. He's like, oh, man. And I'm like, what is it? And he's like, these are all Crystal Skull cards. He had bought a Crystal Skull card set inadvertently, and he was so disappointed. And he just kept looking through. He's like, there's nothing else but Crystal Skull in here. I thought it was all Indiana Jones. And he just took it, and he's like, Keaton, you want this card set? I don't want it. I don't have any use for it. And just gave it away. He's like, you know what? He cut me the deal. I feel like I just bought the Superman card set. And Keaton,
bad.
Of course, took it because he's never seen it. He doesn't care.
That's the right way to look
so,
at
yeah,
it.
He got Tabe'd.
Well.
Totally Tabe'd.
That happens to the best of us.
Yeah. Well, he was talking about you getting Tabe'd.
Oh.
Where he was looking at the Jurassic Park figures.
Yeah.
He's really into Jurassic Park right now, and he saw the Dennis Nedry figure.
Yes.
And he's like, who is this one? And I said, oh, it's Dennis Nedry. He's like, ah, Mike's Tabe'd.
I want to know if
Blaze... He knows his stuff.
He knows his stuff.
His Action Features.
I want to know if Blaze is getting excited for Jurassic Park 4.
He's very excited.
Because at first I said Jurassic World is a stupid title, which...
It still is.
It is.
Yeah.
But from what I'm seeing from it, they have actual dinosaurs. They've actually made some dinosaurs, so...
He's excited.
It could be... I'm kind of looking forward to it.
All right, man.
All right. That is all. Thank you, everybody. So long.
Don't worry, I'll handle this computer stuff here. I'll get this turned off. No problem. I'm just going to take a while so that I think I'm... It's fading out. It's fading out as I hit the button.